Yo, what's going on? It's Wednesday, December 18th. I'm Jeff. This is the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, and wow, it's the semifinals, man. I'm ready. I am actually ready. I'm kind of ready for the season to be over. I always get this like itch when we get to this time of the year where I'm like, I want to start doing best ball. I want to start looking at dynasty rookie drafts and doing a dynasty startup or two. I'm going to push the finish line. Don't you worry about that. But I do get that little itch at this time of year. And hey, I mean, speaking of rookies, well, we got to talk about Michael Penix on the podcast. There are a bunch of moving pieces in terms of injuries for this week. And we'll link those up to rankings. Of course, the initial set of rankings is up over at ftnfantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Also got to tell you, if you happen to be a two-sport fantasy athlete, is that a thing? Did I just make it a thing? Fantasy athlete? If you are a two-sport fantasy athlete and you go both football and baseball, I don't think there's any place in the world you should be other than FTN to up your game. We just released our draft guide for 2025 fantasy baseball. I know, hey, it's December though. If you don't start now, you're behind. And in baseball, there are, I think quite literally, there's what, 1.6 million players in the major leagues. There's so many stinking players. You want to be up to speed, we got you covered. It's an awesome product. You will outdraft everybody. You will outcompete everybody. You'll be so much more prepared than those suckers in your league. FTNFantasy.com. Go check it out. Also, before we get into the news, just a quick note on rankings. And I've been on this soapbox for years, a never-ending campaign of mine. It's too early to set your lineup on a Wednesday, or especially on a Tuesday. It's too early. Like, you can put an initial. Like, I'm not saying, like, don't set a lineup. But to have your final determination, it's too early. You know, so asking start sit questions or anything like that on a Wednesday really is just a waste of energy. You know, what I really try to do at this point in the week, and I realize, like, you know, this isn't your full-time job. You know, well, I know there are some industry people who listen to this podcast, but for the most part, it's not your full-time job, right? And you're listening to this podcast to, you know, save time, right? And okay, that's part of it. But, you know, I'm doing all the research, so you don't necessarily have to, but you still have to be at least somewhat familiar with the situations. And that's why I do say, instead of being like, you know, I am starting this player over this player, I'm going to try and give you the information so that you can ultimately make that determination. And hey, if you really want to, you just lean on my rankings because those are my start sit recommendations. But I try to give you as much information as possible because that's what this stage of the week is. It's information gathering. It's not start sit time. First time we make a start sit determination is if we have anybody going on Thursday night in that final 90 minutes before the game. This week, we're also going to have to make start sit determination on Saturday before the 1 o'clock start, 1 o'clock Eastern start, and before the 4:30 Eastern start in that 90 minutes, but only for players in those games. And then on Sunday, we make our determinations in that 90 minutes before the 1 o'clock Eastern start. Why 90 minutes? Because that's when the inactives come out. That's as much information as we will possibly get before the game start. We will have all the info. Otherwise, right now, I find so many people work themselves up, which is like so counterproductive. If you're trying to make a start sit decision, just agonizing over it right now on a Wednesday isn't going to help you. And it's going to do the opposite. It's going to hurt you. So we got it. Deep breath, right? Confidence here. Don't freak out. Secret of fantasy football. We got it. All right. And rankings will evolve. So that's another part of it too. Just using rankings on a Wednesday isn't going to help you that much. I mean, it helps for me. It helps get a framework for the week. Like, you got to set the table before you eat dinner. And this is just setting the table, you know? All right. So let's talk about probably the biggest story of the last 24 hours. The Atlanta Falcons did it. They decided to bench Kirk Cousins after a string of five dreadful performances where, well, they did beat the Raiders, not saying much there, but they went 1-5 after being in the pole position and seemingly cruising towards a playoff spot. Now they're behind Tampa in the division. Like, they can still make the playoffs. There is still a chance. The deck is stacked against them. But they decide to make the move. In that span of five games, Kirk Cousins had one passing touchdown and nine interceptions. He is clearly not able to drive the football. This happens to older quarterbacks. He's not the only older quarterback. In fact, any of the, you know, good starters, great starters, legends that we've seen who play later into their 30s, this tends to happen. I think of Peyton Manning at the end of his career. You know, he's throwing ducks out there. Like, he could not drive the ball whatsoever. Drew Brees at the end of his career, they had to put Jameis Winston in to throw Hail Marys. Like, Brees, his career was honestly extended by Michael Thomas, which, you know, Michael Thomas doesn't get that credit. He gets a lot of credit for the great things he did, but he definitely helped extend Drew Brees' career. You know, maybe the only guy who I didn't see it happen to was Tom Brady. He's the complete exception. Rodgers has some zip on a ball right now, but most of these guys just, it happens. Matt Ryan at the end of his career, I'm thinking of some like the recent examples, Big Ben, you know, go back like Marino at 37 years old was toast, you know, not knocking him, great career, Hall of Famer, you know, rightfully so. It just happens, you know, it just happens. But what's unprecedented about this move is this is the latest in the season, week 16, that we've seen a team turn to a rookie. So benching a veteran starter for a rookie when they are A, not eliminated from the playoffs, and B, have not clinched. Like, in other words, they're in the playoff hunt and they're moving to a rookie. We have not seen that since the merger. And I would be surprised if, you know, research beyond the merger, if that actually has ever happened. You know, well, obviously, I guess the season wouldn't have been week 16 going back far enough. But regardless, you get the point. This is uncharted territory. Now, as far as Cousins is concerned, I mean, he's going to make out because he's going to get paid regardless, the $90 million fully guaranteed that he signed for. For the Falcons, yeah, they screwed up. Obviously, they screwed up. But to their credit, and I've been saying this here since the rumblings have started, since Cousins, you know, maybe over the last 3 weeks, first couple games, you have a bad game or two, I'll give it to you. You know, it happens in the NFL. Everybody's so stinking talented on both sides of the ball that it happens. Even the best players have down games, but 5 games in a row. Okay. I think the Falcons realized their mistake right away. And that's why they drafted Penix. And they realized, oh crap, we could have made a huge mistake here. So anyway, Penix steps in. All right, so what do we know about this kid who they took 8th overall in April's draft? I mean, obviously he was in the Heisman conversation last year, national championship game, had really 2 great years there at Washington. And that transfer really revitalized his shot at being an NFL quarterback, and ultimately he goes in the first round. I want to read you the scouting report that I had in the Rookie Fantasy Scouting Guide over at ftnfantasy.com. Of course, if you're a subscriber, you get access to it. I do 2 versions of it. I do a pre-draft that releases in early April, so usually about just under a month before the NFL draft. Gives you a nice runway so you can get up to speed, not on just the big players. Everybody's going to know Ashton Gentee this upcoming year, but I'll go deep at all 4 positions, 4 skill positions, so that you know who these dudes are when their names are getting called, or those guys who don't get called and become undrafted rookie free agents. Then I immediately do a post-draft edition that comes out on Wednesday after the NFL draft. So then it takes into context everything that happened after the draft, because things change, obviously. But here's what I wrote, and you get this in the initial edition, all the fantasy scouting report for all of these guys. I said, Penix blends precision passing and top shelf football IQ with impressive athleticism. He can make every throw on the field and does so with the touch of a point guard. At the same time, he enters the pro level with a lengthy injury history, including multiple torn ACLs. He's also no spring chicken, but on the field, Penix has somewhat of an unorthodox throwing motion that at times can lead to accuracy issues. While he may not be to the level of the top 4 options in this year's class, he isn't far off. His athleticism, arm talent, and leadership have him positioned to make a run at a starting job in the NFL. Now, of course, I wrote that before the NFL draft, and there was a point where a lot of us thought he could be a day 2 guy, so I may have been under that impression at that time. Obviously, he's going to make a run at a starting job here, but you know, an interesting player. You know, I look at him, the comp is the obvious comp. A lot of people are going to make the lefty comp to Tua Tagovailoa. But he's more mobile than Tua. He tested really well at his pro day, ran 4.58, did nice in the explosive drills, 36.5-inch vert, 10'5" in the broad jump. So really all of that bodes well. You know, big hands too. I mean, he's got his hands measured in at 10.5 inches, like monster hands. He's decent enough size. Like, he's not the biggest dude, but he's definitely not tiny out there whatsoever. And yeah, he comes in a little bit older. He's 20, you know, he was 24 and a half years old, essentially entering the season. So whatever. I'm not worried about that at quarterback though. So he steps into an interesting situation. And I think to the benefit here, like, this is different than, say, Drake May. Drake May stepped into a situation, and I still think Drake May is a better player than Michael Penix, but he stepped into a situation where, man, like, is Darnell Mooney's better than any receiver he has, right? Is Ray-Ray McCloud better than any receiver Drake May has? I mean, we could possibly make that argument. I don't know, maybe get into the weeds there, but Drake London certainly is better. I know Kyle Pitts hasn't hit for you, but whatever. He has a viable tight end target. He also has Bijan out of the backfield. Like, it's not a bad situation. And when I think about, you know, the Tua comp isn't just because he's a lefty. You know, the Tua comp is that Penix does have that touch. He can put the ball in the right place. Like I said, there were times where he had a little bit of accuracy woes at the college level. It wasn't major, though. It's not like he was completing 50% of his passes. Last year, it was 65.5%, which is a solid number. It's not amazing, but it's a solid number. So he should be able to put these guys in positions where they can run after catch. And when you think about this style of offense, which, by the way, is the same style of offense Tua is in, that will help. I think of high IQ, accurate ball placement, and touch as very important features in a Shanahan McVay style offense. And remember, Zach Robinson comes from that Sean McVay pedigree. So Penix, in theory, should be interesting and should be good in this system. Of course, there are a lot of unknowns here. So I made the recommendation of going out, like, if you're in a super flex league and let's say your opponent is up against it or you're kind of screwed at quarterback, it's not the worst pickup, but I only think he's on the fringe of super flex territory in the short term. Could he exceed those expectations? Of course. Of course. But there are a lot of unknowns. And the challenge with those unknowns this week is essentially you have your playoff life on the line. If you lose this week, maybe you have a third place game. Great. You have a third place game. But if you lose this week, seriously, though, you know, your season's basically over. Great. You have a third place game. You're not playing for the championship. Your season's basically over. So I wouldn't go as far as putting him into a lineup, you know, to start this week. But I think of the guys who are in the back end of Superflex territory, like Cooper Rush, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. This week, Russell Wilson, Geno Smith. Like, he's right in that conversation, and it's a toss-up with all of those dudes. Now, if you said Aaron Rodgers or Matthew Stafford, no, I'm not getting that cute. Even Caleb Williams, I know people are frustrated with him, but I would still use him over an unknown Michael Penix Jr. And this does bring, you know, it brings Drake London down a little bit. Drake London was, with Kirk Cousins in there, usually in the top 12 conversation. Right now, I have him ranked 19th. You know, it brings Darnell Mooney down a little bit, though it should be fun. You know, it really should be fun. Darnell Mooney is a flex option. I have a 42. The only player, you know, for me, I don't care. It doesn't change, is Bijan. Bijan, I have him at 3 for the week. He's been fantastic this season, putting up big time numbers. He's going to have a hell of a year. I'm not getting cute and streaming Kyle Pitts. So it's interesting. It's unprecedented. I actually like it. I think it's 2 weeks too late for them. At least they got out with a victory last week. Atlanta, that is. We'll see what happens. Got to love the NFL. A lot of changes going on right now, right? So let's get over to a few other news items to help you out here. Unfortunately, the Sincere McCormick experience was short-lived. He landed on injured reserve. He had posted something on his Instagram yesterday, so this felt like it was going to happen. Like, we kind of knew before the fact. So he's on injured reserve. So we're back to Ameer Abdullah, Alexander Mattison, which means run away in fear. Like, seriously, with our playoff lives on the line, hopefully you don't have to rely on anybody in the Raiders' backfield. I would avoid it at all costs. David Montgomery is not going to injured reserve yet. He's going to get a second opinion on his knee injury. I'll say this, Jahmyr Gibbs, he's my number one player for the week, non-quarterback, number one player for the week. He should eat in this game. And yes, I do expect them to lean on Craig Reynolds, and Sione Vaki should see a little bit of work too, but there's not enough meat on the bone for Craig Reynolds to be a flex option. Like, if he ends up scoring in flex territory, great. That's a pleasant surprise, but I don't want to get too out over my skis on him this week. I think it's fine if you picked him up. There's nothing wrong with that. Drew Lock is going to start this week for the Giants. I really don't care who starts. Malik Nabers has kind of been quarterback proof, which shows you how stinking good he is. He's got 90 catches already this season. He, if it's Lock, if it's DeVito, if it's Boyle, it doesn't really matter. He's still going to be a wide receiver two play every single week. So you got that. How about this? Patrick Mahomes is practicing in full to the point where he isn't even on the injury report. And apparently he's going to give it a go. So what do we do there if you have Mahomes? Because obviously he's playing on one leg, basically. He's got a high ankle sprain. Now, it's not a severe high ankle sprain, but he's got a high ankle sprain. Now, the good news is he did play through a very similar injury in the 2022 playoffs, so we have at least somewhat of a frame of reference here. I have him at 18. I can't imagine using him. Like, here's the problem, though. Who are you picking up other than him? Like, I have Caleb Williams technically ahead of him. Do you feel good about that? I have Anthony Richardson way ahead of him at 8 right now. Do you feel good about that? So I wouldn't blame you if you just said screw it in a one quarterback league and played him. I think he's fine in super flex, to be honest with you. I think he's totally fine there. But he could have Hollywood Brown back, and that would help a little bit with more explosive plays in that offense. That is one of the areas where obviously they've been lacking. We're keeping an eye on George Pickens. He didn't practice yesterday. I don't have a report for today, but there is a chance that he could play. He could be back out there. Obviously, that is really important for Russell Wilson. He has been significantly worse without him. Breece Hall not practicing today. That's kind of been par for the course, so he could still play this week. Remember, Isaiah Davis has kind of moved into the number two role, not Braylon Allen. Nick Chubb goes to injured reserve. No surprises there. But I'm seeing a lot of love for Jerome Ford. Like, just because the guy was a top waiver out of the week doesn't mean he's a great start. It's more reflective of the state of waivers. Like, I can't tell you, like, all these people are trying to talk themselves into starting him. He's fine as a flex. He's fine as a flex, but anything more than that, you are really tempting fate. I'm just going to be honest with you here. Think about it. Jerome Ford going into Cincinnati, they're 7.5-point underdogs. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is going to be the quarterback, and really, anytime he's been out there, it has not worked very well. This could very well be a situation where Jameis gets back in there, which honestly, I'd be more confident with Jameis under center, but even then, I don't love it. I would not use him as anything more than, you know, than a flex option. Be really careful. Really, really careful. Otherwise, I don't think there's anything else major going on around the NFL. So here's the deal. I'm going to do at least, you know, one more of these Wednesday shows on this feed. So if you're just subscribing on this feed, I mean, maybe you don't like me and you just like Mike Randall. That's cool. If that's, I can take it. But if you do want more podcasts from me, remember, I'm on the Rant Podcast 4 days a week. Now, this week won't be for doing a family thing on Friday. So I will have the regular Friday preview show. I'll be doing that tomorrow. So you get all the games previewed. I know how important of a weekend it is. So we got you. Don't worry about that. In the meantime as well, you'll get the report article over at ftnfantasy.com. The first three games are already up, so the Thursday and the two Saturday games. And those are free if you're not a subscriber. The first games of the week are free, so you can go check it out and see if you like it. You know, if you don't like it, okay. But maybe you will. I think you will. ftnfantasy.com. Follow along with me on social media, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter/X, and at Jeff Ratcliffe on Blue Sky. All right, I will catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.
Thank you.